Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and she is here to talk to us about what's going on with the Kiplinger letter this week. But it's a big doings this week, too, because this is also anniversary week. Welcome back, Joan.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
How about that?
Can't believe it. Just keeps rolling on.
86
and on.
Years. This is the week.
Yeah.
I think it's, what day was it? Is it the 27th or 6th or something? I've forgotten what day it is. I've got that Yeah, I might have that here. I might have that copy right here somewhere. Here it is. Here it is,
good,
Joan.
Good.
The 29th.
Ah, okay. We're getting there.
Next Tuesday. See, it was 1923, and so that made me, I always think of 23, and so it's the 29th day of September on 23. So we're going to go ahead and celebrate our anniversary because you know who's going to be on the show in the second half of the hour.
I sure do.
Somebody that maybe the only person who admires Austin Kiplinger more than I do is Joan. Would that be a fair assessment?
Thank you. Well, I think we're running neck and neck.
Pretty close. Yeah. No, I admit that.
I have tremendous admiration for him, but so do you.
Folks, he's going to be on. I remind you, Austin Kiplinger, Witness to a Century, National Treasure, is going to be editor emeritus of the Kiplinger Letters. He's going to be on the second half of the hour. Joan has graciously relinquished that half hour so we can talk to him.
I wouldn't relinquish for just anybody.
Exactly. In fact, you have never relinquished for anybody else, even for me.
Joan, not willingly.
Let's talk about the cover page of the first page of the letter. The lead story is all about healthcare, isn't it?
That's right.
What's going on?
Well, we're basically trying to say, we're trying to steer readers away from Capitol Hill because they're, you know, muddling along trying to write a bill.
Who knows what we're going to get?
Right, and our point is, let's look at what's going on out in the real world and what employers are having to do while Congress hasn't reformed healthcare yet. Employers have to deal with higher costs, and we're explaining how they're doing that.
Do you remember, Joan, in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, we were reporting about double-digit increases on health care?
Yes.
And then, of course, compounding each year?
Right.
It hasn't abated, has it?
Oh, gosh, no. No, it has not. We're saying, premiums will jump about 10% next year, which is five times the rate of inflation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This part is out of hand.
Yeah.
But this is one of the concerns. This is one of the reasons why there's so much desire to reform healthcare. But Joan, the issue is in my opinion, is you know how does anybody think we're going to look to the government to find efficiencies? They don't find efficiencies. They create inefficiencies. But that's another story. Let's move on down and talk about what you guys. When you talk about some of the ways companies are coping with this,
right, and they're not finding efficiencies necessarily. They're just trying to put a lid on costs.
Yeah,
and they're doing it in a number of different ways.
These companies are. Tell us about that.
All right. Well, first of all, we talk about targeted cost shifting. In other words, not just slapping a premium hike on employees, but doing different things like raising deductibles or co-pays or limiting out-of-pocket expenses. Sorts of different things.
Which is the right thing to do, Joan, because right. It's doing something that I've been proposing now for all these years, for over a decade, and that is to make for all of us to become healthcare consumers. Like we buy car insurance and life insurance and potatoes, make us consumers, not just patients.
Well, and not just consumers, but smart shoppers.
Exactly. And instead of co-paying patients.
Yeah.
And so they're doing that. They're making the employees be a little more of a partner in the healthcare situation,
right,
aren't they?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But so that's cost shifting.
Right.
But also they're doing some other things, aren't they?
Well, we're saying that they're using carrots and sticks, that they're kind of directing care. For example, they might waive a copay if a high-risk patient went to a certain provider. So they're kind of steering patients in one direction or another. And also a big thing, I know is a big thing here and in other companies, wellness programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rewarding people who, you know, lose weight, stop smoking, develop healthier lifestyles.
I've interviewed companies, Joan, who took out the smoking room and abandoned the smoking room and put in a weight room or exercise room.
Right, right. I mean, we don't have a weight room ourselves, but I think we do help, you know, help with discounts to local sports
right.
clubs. So Kiplinger itself is encouraging mm-hmm. employees to get out there and get healthier.
It's so good on so many levels to do that, isn't it?
That's true.
For everyone. I mean, once people stop smoking, once people start eating right, once they start getting exercise, it's a tide that lifts a lot of boats, doesn't it?
Right, and I know that Kiplinger isn't sitting there saying, well, we're doing this just so that our workers can be more productive. But that is kind of a side benefit that does happen.
Well, quality of life improves for everybody, the innocent bystander as well as the person.
Right.
Their families. People, you know, if you got a good employee, they live longer when they do these things.
Exactly.
So there's so many good things. And it lowers costs.
Yep.
Lowers healthcare costs.
That's true.
Because, you know, these companies, when you get hit with a bunch of health claims, that affects the cost of the group, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what are some other things that they're doing?
Well, let's see.
Coordinating among providers, you guys point out, is one thing. More coordination among providers.
Chronic disease cases. Because, you know, if you're going to have someone like, for example, when I went through breast cancer, you don't just have one doctor. You have an oncologist, breast surgeon, radiologist.
Right.
You know, you have three or four doctors all that need to work together for the correct outcome and maybe for a lower cost outcome if that's possible.
Right, right. Speaking of that, Joan, next month is Breast Cancer Awareness.
That's right.
And we'll have our show.
Good.
And I hope you'll join us again, as you
Absolutely.
Have every time, and we'll be doing that. How long has it been now, Joan? How long? What's it?
Years? I was diagnosed back in 2000. So it's just about 9 years now.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God.
So you can survive breast cancer.
Exactly, exactly. And you're one of our heroes.
Thank you,
Joan. The other thing. We talked about the deductible coverage. That's on high deductible coverage. You know, another thing, and this is what we do here in my organization, we provide health savings accounts.
Oh, right.
And so we pay for the health savings account,
right?
Which has a high deductible. All of our employees are young,
right?
And so it works out for everybody,
yeah.
And they can start saving their own money towards their own health care cachet.
Now, the owner of the company isn't that young, right?
No. The owner of the company is a little bit older than that.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're talking about my boss, right?
Yeah, your boss.
Hey, stand by, Joan. We're going to take a quick break, folks. You knew she'd get some of her acerbic tongue in there. She's got a lip on her, doesn't she, ladies and gentlemen? 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame. Right back with the always acerbic, but always lovable, Joan Pride. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. Thank you for checking it out. We built it just for you. There's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you hang out with us. Come on in and use our stuff. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions, you can do lots of stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every Sunday afternoon by email. So you can do that right there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Joan Pride is our guest. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, over on page 3, there's a section there on human resources where you talk about pension insurance premiums going up. What's that all about?
Well, in a nutshell, they're not going up yet, but they're going to have to go up eventually, we think, because the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation's deficit is pretty large.
Tell us who those guys are and what they do.
Well, they insure, if your pension fails, they take it over and they pay off the... they make the payments that you were not able to make, the company.
So the people who haven't folded are going to have to pay a higher premium ultimately to fund...
Right, and Congress is trying to stave that off, and understandably so, because the more you hike premiums on the pensions that are left, the more plan sponsors are going to want to shut down those pensions.
Right.
So it's kind of a vicious cycle there.
Yeah, and it's gotten ugly lately with some of the failures, hasn't it?
Right, that's true.
There's some other things going on. You also report about sponsoring retirement plan sponsors headed for administrative headaches with regard to 401ks.
Yeah, and if you sponsor 401k or a regular pension, watch for this, because in October, IRS is going to announce its decision on different pension plan limits, and they're based on 3 months' worth of inflation, July, August, September, and the numbers are looking as if for the first time we're going to see limits go down. For example, the amount that an employee can put into their 401k. I mean, it's never gone down before, but all these are limits are tied to inflation. So there's going to be administrative and paperwork things that you're going to have to worry about in the fourth quarter if IRS, as we expect, announces that these limits are going to go down for 2010.
Speaking of limits, if your 401k accidentally overfunded, and I'm not the expert you are on this show, but I'm trying to get you started on this. If your 401k overfunded, you could be seen as a tax shelter abuser by the IRS and get a big fine if you're a small business, couldn't you?
Well, if an employee makes a contribution that's too high, it has to go back. Now, one of the problems is, I think what you're alluding to is a different problem in that plan sponsors or employers kind of got duped by some shelter promoters and bought some, I think, not only pension but also health plans that it's hard to explain, but basically were really tax shelters. They did it inadvertently.
They thought the IRS had blessed it. These were good people who thought the IRS blessed it because they did get an initial blessing from
the
IRS.
That's why I say inadvertent. They didn't realize they were walking into a tax shelter, and IRS has very severe penalties on tax shelters. And it's not IRS's fault. Congress wrote this into the law.
Right.
So IRS is forced, when it finds one of these shelters, to find these, you know, unsuspecting employers ridiculous amounts of money.
Right.
I mean, it's going to shut down businesses. Now, IRS has put a moratorium on these high penalties to give Congress time to change the law. But guess what?
They haven't done it.
Congress intends to. It just hasn't gotten around
to
it yet.
See, this is... Now we come back, Joan, to what I've been talking about when I talk about the unintended consequences of the behavior of our Congress, of our members of our government. They threw this big net out there to catch these big bad guys. Well, guess what? They caught some small fish.
Unintended consequences.
Some small fish.
But let me make a prediction here. I believe IRS will move that deadline ahead. I'm hoping that will happen, because that deadline right now is September 30th.
But we're talking $100,000, $250,000 penalties on small businesses.
Over a million.
Yeah, exactly. Over a million on in one case I saw, Joan, the guy owned a handful of car washes.
Yeah.
So we're not talking big time businesses here.
No.
We're talking
Main Street. Shelter promoters that are really the bad guys.
That's right. And these guys didn't do anything wrong. And so watch out for that, folks, and pay attention. If you get an announcement like that from the IRS, pay attention to it, because it's something to that you need to watch. Joan, let's move over and talk about the post office.
Well, our prediction is that Saturday delivery of mail is probably going to be gone by about 2011. So you're going to be on a Monday to Friday schedule of receiving mail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised by that they would want to have a two-day break with mail piling up, but that's what we're predicting.
You know, Joan, mail is less and less a big part of our lives, isn't it?
That's true.
In the post office.
That's true.
We get catalogs. We do get bills and things like that. But more checks are being direct deposited. We're doing more banking online. We're doing more business with each other online. The money goes right. You know, we never actually see the cash or the checks. We don't send that much mail here anymore. And I don't think not getting Saturday delivery is a big deal. I don't see that as a big deal. But you guys point out that a few people don't like it.
Well, that's right. I think it can create problems for small businesses in terms of their mailing schedule. But you know, I'm not sure how many other options the Postal Service has to cut costs.
Yeah, and I don't know who expects wants to deliver mail on Saturday to a customer. Usually, if you want them to do something on the weekend, you deliver to them on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. But I'm going to make another prediction, Joan. I'm going to predict that in your lifetime, maybe not mine, But in your lifetime, there won't be a post office, a U.S. post office.
I think it's very possible.
Yeah,
very possible.
That's my prediction. Yeah. Hey, Joan, thank you for being here. Good job today. And I know you're going to hand us off to the editor emeritus of your company.
Boy, enjoy that second half hour.
Austin Kiplinger is going to be with us on the other side of these messages. Joan, thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen. And when I come back, one of my heroes, ladies and gentlemen, Austin Kiplinger, editor emeritus of the Kiplinger Washington Letter, and a witness to a century. He's going to have some really good perspectives for us right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.